Welcome to Career Tours. This week, meetings and high eyes. The questions this cast answers are, how can I add to a meeting as a high eye? How can I avoid derailing a meeting as a high eye? And how can I just generally be more effective in meetings as a high eye?
If your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
For every DISC style, if you don't know what DISC is, go back, find the DISC overview cast and find out what DISC is. But basically, it's a behavioral profiling tool. It's a way of looking at different people's behaviors and categorizing them in order that we can understand them a little bit better. And every style has its strengths and weaknesses. And high eyes are known for their relationship skills and their ideas, because those are the two strongest parts of a high eye. They're really good at making friends and they're really good at keeping them. But they often come up with ideas that are a step away from that which anybody else thought of. Within the confines of a meeting, though, they can get off track and they can take other people with them. So in this guidance, we'll discuss how to be effective in a meeting as a high eye. So Sarah, will you tell us the outline?
We're going to start by talking about being the agenda monitor, then using a notebook, telling stories after decisions, and socialize before and after.
Exactly. So be the agenda monitor. One of the things high eyes are really bad at is following an agenda, because they like to go off on all these tangents when they have an idea, or whether they have a story about a person, or whether they just want to tell you about their weekend. They'll go off and they won't stay within the agenda.
Eyes are like your class clown.
Yes, eyes are definitely your class clown.
You want to make it fun. Meetings are boring. I need to bring some excitement.
Exactly. So an agenda feels too stifling and too rigid. It's like, I have to stay within this box and I don't like boxes. You know, because if you meet a friend on the way to the meeting, you have to say hello, right? Even if that makes you late, because everybody else would be fine with it. If you have an idea in a meeting, even if it's unrelated, you have to share it, right? Right now, because otherwise people won't hear how brilliant it is. And if you have an awesome story, you have to tell it, because that's what happened at your weekend and everybody will really enjoy finding out what happened on your weekend. Well, now you're late for your meeting and you've taken it off agenda several times. This is not a way to endear yourself or make friends.
IDs want to get in and out of the meeting as fast as possible. And now you've delayed them, right? So they're irritated. They want to get out of there and you're wasting their time. The high C's, they want to follow the agenda exactly. The C's, they love process, they love procedure, and you've taken them off course, and this is probably going to cause a great deal of anxiety for them. The high S's, they probably are not going to say anything, but they're probably worried about the other people who haven't been speaking because you haven't stopped speaking.
Exactly. So to overcome this?
To overcome this, you're going to volunteer for a role in the meeting. The agenda monitor is the best role because you're forced to look at the agenda and monitor the time. That's what an agenda monitor is. An agenda monitor makes sure the meeting stays on time and on topic. Note taker would work too, whether it's on a flip chart or your own notebook. Taking the notes works because you have to be concentrating on what's being said rather than thinking about what you're going to say next. You have to be in the moment paying attention to the others.
And you'll still have to exercise some self-control, but having a focus helps use more of your brain in the service of the meeting. It helps it stay engaged, even if the topic is not very interesting.
Right. It's little interest to you. It's a snooze fest. This is boring.
Yes. So next one is use a notebook.
Even if it's just taking the notes for yourself, for your own information. Take notes. High eyes love high-level ideas and stories, and details are dull. They're boring. You can doodle if you want, as long as you're taking notes of some sort. And at a minimum, you need to be taking notes about your own deliverables, what you need to do if you're going to accomplish that task. You need to be able to do it. You have to have notes for it. When you need to do what? If you're high I, you are distracted, you tend to zone out during meetings, take notes about other people's deliverables. Becoming the person who has a note about everything, now that's a good way to counteract the reputation you have of constantly being distracted.
Exactly. And like we said, you can doodle if you want to, but if you're trying to keep up with the notes that are coming out of a meeting and coming up with your deliverables and their deliverables and any other useful information that the meeting needs, then you probably won't have time to, and you won't have time for your brain to go off on one of its little trips around the moon.
And you often have ideas about something else or somebody else during the meeting, right? Like that. Oh, I just thought of something, right? It's not related to the meeting whatsoever. So flip to the back of your notebook, make a note, mark it down there. This way you don't interrupt the flow of the meeting, right? You would usually say that idea out loud, but this way you get to capture that idea. You still get to voice it without letting it come out.
Yes, exactly. Of course, if you are note-taking, there is no point in the notes being in your notebook. They need to be transferred to your task list, and you need to have a task list and an ideas list. You can put your ideas on your ideas list. And if you don't have a task list, that's the one thing you need to do right now is start one, because this will help you get things done, the things that other people want you to get done, so that they can stay in this nice relationship with you where you mutually benefit.
I sort of have a habit of staying organized, right? So putting these into place, these systems, it will keep you more organized, all your ideas in one place.
Mm-hmm. So one system you might take is on your calendar, put an extra 15 minutes after every meeting, so that if a meeting goes from 11 till 12, then you mark the meeting as going till 12:15, and then you can spend 5 minutes of that day, 5 minutes of that time, transferring your tasks and ideas, like straight after the meeting. You won't have forgotten anything. And if you do it as a habit, you can't not do it. And even if you get distracted on the way, you'll go back to your desk and think, oh, I have to do this. I have to transfer my tasks. And now I've got a task list to work from. And instead of just going from what my brain tells me is most urgent, I can actually see what's most urgent and what's due next. If your tasks tend to be longer term, you can do this at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, depending. So if you come out of the meeting and you have tasks for the next hour or the next 2 hours, that's within your day. So between when you've had the meeting and the end of your day, if you have those type of tasks, then you need to do this task transfer straight away so that you can see the tasks that you have for the rest of the day. If you tend to have tasks that are 2 or 3 days long or 1 day long, you could do it at the end of the day as a habit. You could go through your notebook and transfer all the tasks at the end of each day, or you could do it at the beginning of the next day. The problem with the beginning of the next day is you've slept and you'll have forgotten some things. So it's better to do it on the same day if you can.
And a side note to that, if you are the note taker, ensure that you actually get the captured notes with deliverables out to all the meeting participants in a timely fashion. Notes taken that are failed to get distributed don't do anyone any good.
And that means in 24 hours.
Many times, if it's an informal meeting, just take a snapshot, right? A picture with your phone and send it out to everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. That's super easy for a high eye. And they always have their phone and their spare phone with them.
Always, every time.
Because, you know, two people might call at the same time.
You never know.
Okay, this one is super important. Tell stories after decisions. So if an agenda item is for a discussion or a decision, wait until after the discussion or the decision is made before telling a story, and then only if there is still time on the agenda. So if an agenda item runs from 10 past the hour until 20 past the hour, and a decision has been made or the agenda item objective has been met, as long as it's still before 20 past, you can interject with whatever you want, but you have to stop at 20 past so that you're still within the agenda. So if you have an idea, if you want to tell a story about the person we're discussing, if you want to add something joyful and exciting and interesting to this agenda item, you have to wait until after the decision has been made. This will stop you derailing the meeting and win you a lot of friends.
And while we love your stories, everyone loves them, but it's rare that they're necessary for the decision to be made. Now, sometimes there will be time and you can tell a story. Sometimes you'll slip and tell a story. But if you go from telling 5 stories per meeting to telling 1 story per meeting, people are going to notice, right? Notice your restraint, right? Oh, she's telling fewer stories. They'll notice.
If only you and I were high eyes, we would have better examples. You and I are the high Ds that are like sitting in the corner going, this isn't a decision. Why are we talking about this?
How is this related whatsoever to the topic?
Exactly. Why are we even listening to this?
Why are we listening? It has nothing to do with anything. Hurry up.
Exactly. As high Ds, we're going to break this to you. Meetings aren't a get together with your mates and a chance to catch up. And we've all seen the meeting cost calculators where you add up the cost per hour of everyone who is in the meeting and their salary per hour. And then you know that they're quickly astronomical. They're like $800 an hour just to have a meeting, or sometimes it's thousands. And so wasting that time is not a good thing. You don't want to waste the company money or the company time or the time of the people that you're trying to build a relationship with trivia. And that's how people see the additions you make to the meeting. They don't see it as valuable. And it's not because it's not valuable. It's not because we don't like you telling stories or having ideas. Those things are good things. They're just not good things in meetings. And other people, other styles will see what you're doing as trivia, unfortunately, because they're more focused on getting a task done, or they're more focused on making sure everybody has a chance to speak. You're focused on making it fun.
The C's are actually running that salary calculator in their head.
Oh, yes, they are.
They're doing the math. I can't imagine. I can't imagine how much it's costing right now for you to tell this story. They're actually thinking that.
Yeah. And again, it's not like high eyes, there's no reason for them. There's a reason for them to be in a company. You need all styles to run a company. You need all styles in a team, but in order to have the kind of balance that you need and to have the injection of great ideas, all we're telling you is don't do it in meetings. And if you are going to do it within the agenda and after decisions have been made. So we do the important stuff and then we get to the fun stuff. And my mother always told me, on the plate, you have to eat the healthy stuff first, and then you can eat the fries. And somehow it stuck. I always do that. And this is kind of like that. You have to do the healthy stuff. You have to make the decision. You have to go over whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in this agenda item, and then inject the fun. But only if it's before the next agenda item. Because then if it's, you know, you'd make the decision at 19 minutes past, maybe you've got 30 seconds. And believe me, you can't tell a story in 30 seconds. Then you're ready to start the next agenda item. So if you start then with the story and you go over, you're breaking the rule of doing it afterwards. That's really important. And it's probably the one thing you can do. That and the transferring your tasks into a task list, those are two probably the most important things you could do, or the ones that would have the most impact.
Now it's time for the fun part. So socializing before and after. Because we know, guys, we know that you want to be able to chat with everybody in the meeting, tell a story or two, explain your ideas, have a friendly time. You have spent the last hour, however long your meeting was, holding these things in. So now you need to let it come out. That energy you need to let it leave your body because you've been holding those ideas in. We've already said that the time for that, for those ideas, it's not in the meeting. So when? Remember the 15 minutes that we all overhang, we put into the meeting. We're only using 5 minutes for transferring tasks, and we've already built those 15 minutes into our schedule, so we've got them, right? Now, if you didn't build those 15 minutes in, you don't have 15 minutes to use because you probably have to get your butt across to another room for another meeting. So, because you've been wise and you've added those extra 15 minutes for your cushion and you've got your 5 minutes transferring tasks, you still have 10 minutes left. And you can use those 10 minutes for socializing.
Yay! Socializing time! And the other time you can do that is to get to a meeting room 10 minutes early and be able to chat too. Now, we know you've never been early for a meeting in your life, but imagine that if you get there 10 minutes early, you have chance to chat to every single person that comes in as they come in. If that's not an incentive for getting to meetings early, I don't know what is. Your relationship skills and your idea skills are really valuable. As I said before, we want you to use those things. But what we're trying to do is help you use that energy that you have in a more structured way, in a more appropriate way, and in a way that works better with the company, the way a company works.
Every Friday morning on our ops call, everyone gets on, and as we're getting on, we're chatting about random things, and we're talking, Wendy and I are talking about cats, and we're giggling, everyone's laughing, telling stories, and then, ultimately, Mike, who chairs the meeting, Mike gets on, right? Sometimes he'll tell a joke, tell a story, and sometimes he makes fun of the rest of us for taking time.
What are you all talking about? Like, how does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. How does this even apply to the meeting, right? This is our outlet to chat at each other, the whatever, 5-10 minutes before our meeting.
Exactly. And it's funny if you think about it, the high I's and the high S's get on earliest, and the high C is the last one to join because
every time.
Because, you know, people know their tolerance for this kind of chit chat. And it's the one time as a team that we can all talk to each other. We talk to each other individually all week. But it's the one time as a team we can talk to each other. And so, yeah, the high I's and the high S's get on and they're chattering away. And then eventually the high D's join in because they want to be efficient and they want to start on time. So they join early, but not too early because they can't tolerate too much chit-chat.
Right. And we don't put our camera on, right? Because
no.
You don't need to see me until this meeting starts.
Until the meeting starts. Until I'm obliged to put
exactly.
the camera on. And then finally, Mike joins and it's time. Almost always is almost exactly time to start. So you can see that. So there is ways to, I'm going to use the word indulge, but that's probably not fair. But there is ways to indulge your profile, the things that you do well and the things that you enjoy doing in a more structured way, which doesn't derail meetings, which doesn't put you off getting your tasks done, that doesn't frustrate other people. Because every time you frustrate them, you're damaging that relationship, and that's not what we want. We want you to keep your relationships because you do that so well. And you can have quality time with your colleagues because you're doing that in a time when you're not supposed to be doing something else. You don't need to worry about where you need to be or what else you need to be doing because you put that time aside. Now, we have to rely on your colleagues to be able to say, I have to be somewhere else and I don't have time to talk to you right now. But everybody has to take part in this. And if you've reserved the time and nobody comes to chat, hey, you just won 10 minutes of your time back.
Go chat with somebody else.
Yeah, you can pretty save that up to chat with the man in the coffee shop. I don't know.
Run to the coffee room. People are there. Chat with them. It's possible when you're chatting with the people, right, that are trying to leave the meeting, that you're actually holding them up from their next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're their boss, make sure that they know that they can leave if they need to. Oftentimes, that's the people that are going to stay there and listen to you. They're the direct, you're the manager. I'm obligated to sit here and listen to you. Make sure that they know that they can take off if they've got it. If you're the peer, they're probably going to let you know, right? Listen, dude, I'm sorry. I really got to go to my next meeting.
Another thing you can do is get into the habit of saying, is this a good time for a chat, or do you have time to listen to an idea I have? If you ask people, you give them the chance, especially your directs, you give them the chance to say, hey, I really need to be at another meeting, or I need to leave, or I'm on a phone call, or whatever, so that they're not late. If you give people an out, then they'll take it when they need it. When they have the time, they'll listen to you.
And this is a totally high eye, distracted kind of story, but I happen to know a useless tidbit of information. I don't even know why I know it. Boston Pizza, which I think you guys have in the States. It's called Boston Pizza. You must.
It's not pizza in Boston, just generally.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when the servers have, when they go to speak to each other, because everyone's running around and they've got other places to be, obviously. Mm-hmm. Before they speak to somebody else, they have to say, may I speak?
Oh.
Yeah. To give that person an out. Because sometimes that person doesn't have a chance to speak. And it's very unlikely people are just going to say, no, I got to go. Mm-hmm. Right? You feel rude. At least that gives them an escape route if they need it.
That's really clever. Fancy doing that in a restaurant. So this habit of asking people beforehand will make your meetings and relationships better. And I think we've covered 4 or 5 different things that you can do. But the one about only telling stories after decisions are made, and the one about transferring things to a task list, those are the 2 places I'd start. And then I would add some of these other techniques into that, because it's hard to take on a bunch of new techniques all at once. So choose the ones that are most important, which is those 2. So what did we cover, Sarah?
We cover being the agenda monitor, using your notebook, telling stories after decisions, and socializing before and or after.
Again, it's not that we're saying anything you do is bad. We're telling you that these things are ways to make you more efficient and more integrated into the company, more working for the company and taking care of the resources than you would do naturally. Try a couple of the techniques and see if they work for you. Let us know how it goes. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that, Hi Eyes. We'll be back with the other styles later in the year.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.